there, and welcome back to another episode of People Pleaser. That's right, it's the show. Here we go, from a Blanket Fort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. This is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today we're talking about why losers never really win. I know it seems like losers run the world, right? They own things. They have money, but they don't have what they actually want, what anyone, for that matter, actually wants. And we're going to break that down in this episode. The opening scene of The Social Network, directed by David Fincher and written by Aaron Sorkin, depicts Mark Zuckerberg at a bar with his girlfriend. And he's lamenting the fact that he's having a hard time getting into the elite social clubs at Harvard that he so desperately wants to be a part of. It is the highest ambition of his life as a 19 or 20-year-old to get into one of these social clubs. I think even like they're at the bar because she knows somebody at the door who like let them get in, because I think that they're not even supposed to be in there. But Mark is just sort of, he's just ruminating in his brain, what can I do to get into the Phoenix Club? What can I do to prove to them that I'm cool enough to be a part of this club? And his girlfriend, played by Rooney Mara, says something to the effect of like, well, why don't you go out for one of the Jewish social clubs, or like one of the ones that like you might have a better shot of getting into? And this really peeves Mark. He feels like what his girlfriend is saying is that he's not cool enough to get into one of the more elite social clubs. And he kind of pushes back and he's like, are you saying that because you think I'm not good enough to get into the Phoenix Club? Like, I should aim lower? And so he starts to neg her, and he starts to, like, immediately blow up his relationship. Like, he's so lucky to be in a relationship with this girl, Erica Albright. He's so lucky that this girl is dating him. And immediately when he feels slighted by her, when he feels like she's not respecting his potential for coolness and greatness, he's just like, well, we're only in this bar because you slept with the doorman, because you're a slut. That's the only reason we're in this bar. And he immediately just starts to like decimate the one good relationship that he has in his life that he is so undeserving of. And she breaks up with him and she walks out of the bar.
You are probably going to be a very successful computer person. You're going to go through life thinking that girls don't like you because you're a nerd. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that that won't be true. Because you're an asshole.
The movie goes on. You all know the story. Mark Zuckerberg goes on to be the founder and CEO of Facebook. And to this day, he's still one of the richest people in existence. It would seem like this is a story about how this kid who, from Harvard, who wanted so desperately to be a part of one of these social clubs, this loser wound up winning, wound up proving all the naysayers wrong. He proved Erica Albright wrong, that he is worthy of high social status, that he is actually the coolest and most capable person around, and he won the game. He won the game of life, of capitalism. There's a text crawl in the last scene of the movie that's telling us kind of what happened. Like, he gets sued by the Winklevoss twins because he basically stole their idea and just made a better version of what they were trying to make. And they were trying to make a website just for Harvard kids. And Mark Zuckerberg was like, what if we make it for all college kids? And then eventually for the whole world. And then we take over the world, and social media as we know it is completely revolutionized. And he gets sued by the Winklevoss twins. And basically he winds up having to settle, and he has to pay them out a settlement, and he has to pay his co-founder Eduardo Saverin, who he totally screwed over, out of a settlement. Eduardo Saverin, his other only real friend in the world that he totally screwed over. And again, it's like, how much of this is actual reality and how much of this is dramatized by Aaron Sorkin and David Fincher because it tells a good story? We don't actually know, because none of us were actually in those rooms. But in this last scene, it's saying, you know, this is what Mark Zuckerberg had to pay the Winklevoss twins, and it's like $60 million. He had to pay Eduardo Saverin something like that too, like $50 million or something like that. Seems like they won. They beat old Zuckerberg in court, and they got him to have to pay out the settlement. But then the next thing it says is Mark Zuckerberg is the youngest billionaire in the world, and he's worth like $27 billion. In 2010, when that movie came out, he's worth a lot more now. But what we're seeing on the screen as that's happening is Mark Zuckerberg is sending a friend request to Erica Albright on Facebook and refreshing the screen over and over and over again, waiting for Erica Albright to accept his friend request. And the point of that movie is the thing that Aaron Sorkin was saying, the shot Aaron Sorkin was calling in 2010 is, it doesn't fucking matter how much money Mark Zuckerberg has. In fact, there's a theme that runs through the movie that Mark doesn't actually care about money. The one thing Mark cares about more than anything in the world is people thinking he's cool, that he deserves to be thought of as a cool person. And all the money in the world can't buy that for him. So yeah, we are owned by losers. They own everything. They seem to run everything. They seem to dictate the laws of the land. But these are, make no mistake, profoundly unhappy and dissatisfied people who cannot ever get the one thing they want, which is to be liked by likable people, be respected by respectable people, not just liked by other losers, not just respected by completely degenerate fucking morons, but liked by cool people, liked by likable people, by good people, respected by good people. Aaron Sorkin nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Absolutely. I mean, it's crazy. I went back and watched this movie recently and I was like, I wonder how well this is going to hold up, knowing everything we know now about Mark Zuckerberg and about Facebook. And it was just like, nope, still nailed it. There was a new file dump, the Epstein files. You know the files, right? And we're not going to spend too much time on the show getting into it. It's 3 million pages and they're still holding back on a lot of it. There's still there is a court order that told the DOJ you have to release all of the unredacted files, and the DOJ initially was like, okay, here's like 2% of them, and we redacted 98% of the 2% that we released. And they're like, that's not what you were ordered to do. You were lawfully ordered to release all of them. They're like, okay, fine, here's 3 million more pages, and we also redacted a lot of those. And it's like, that's not all of them. And mind you, keep in mind, remember, these are the files that this very same DOJ 1,000% claimed did not exist. They said they don't exist. They went from Pam Bondi saying, they're on my desk and we're going to prosecute everyone in those files. Don't you worry. That's what we were hired to do. That's why President Trump was elected. He brought us in to clean the swamp and to get these pedophiles. They're on my desk to, poof, they don't exist. They never existed. You're an idiot for thinking they exist. You thought those were real? They're not. No. So stop worrying. Everyone who's worrying about it, stop it. Donald Trump said, if you're still talking about this, I don't want your support because you've been duped by the Democrats. These files are a Democrat hoax. They're not real. They're the files that he was once asked in an interview, would you prosecute people? And he went, yeah, sure. And then he was like, well, I mean, if the files did come out and if they were real, I'm sure a lot of the stuff would be phony.
Would you declassify the 9/11 files?
Yeah.
Would you declassify JFK files?
Yeah.
Would you?
I did a lot of it.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah, I would.
All right.
I guess I would. I think that less so because, you know, you don't know. You don't want to affect people's lives if it's phony stuff in there because it's a lot of phony stuff with that whole world.
But now the files are real. Here they are. The DOJ is like, okay, fine. We'll release like half of them and we'll still redact most of it. But they're not redacting like enough to hide the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was sending postcards to Larry Nassar. It is crazy just that like all the pedophiles are just friends with each other. And the postcard that Jeffrey Epstein sent to Larry Nassar said, you and I have something in common, our love for young ladies and trying to help them reach their full potential. And then he said, and our president shares those values as well. Also, our president. And it's all over. Trump has mentioned so many fucking times in these files. There are so many photos of him with underage girls, children, so many emails back and forth. It's crazy how many emails from just different billionaires and different people using their personal Gmail account where they're just like, yo, Jeff, gonna be in the neighborhood. Think I could swing by and come and party? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Not only are they so stupid and just so brazenly bold about the crimes that they're committing, so brazenly cocky about the fact that it's like, who's ever going to hold us accountable in a million years for this? We own everything. We run the world. Who's ever going to stop us? Not only are they so unbelievably cocky, but they're also just such unimpressive morons. You know, if we have to be run by losers, if the world has to be bought and paid for by a bunch of pedophile losers, like at least in The Social Network, one thing that's in that movie that I think is on a certain level true is it talks about the fact that in a certain respect, Mark Zuckerberg is kind of brilliant. When it comes to coding, at least coding in the early 2000s, he was kind of a savant. He was kind of a prodigy. He was coding at a level when he was like 15 years old that was elite. He's not a total moron. He's not just a complete ignoramus who fell ass backwards into success. He wasn't just a kid who like had really rich parents and they just bankrolled his career like Donald Trump or Elon Musk. He actually built his career because he had a skill set that was valuable at the time.
Anybody? Ah, and I see we have our first surrender. Don't worry, Mr. Zuckerberg. Brighter men than you have tried and failed this class.
One valid bit, one modified bit, one reference bit, five permission bits.
That is correct.
If there's anything we should be able to lean back on, it's that, like, hopefully these people are at least good at what they do. They're at least smart. But the thing is, most of them are just total dumb fucks. One of my favorite people on TikTok and on Instagram is Andrewski. I don't know if you guys follow this guy, but I'm just going to play a video from Andrew because he makes me laugh.
Like, many of you have been trying to parse through some of the files that have just been released. You know the ones I'm talking about. Beloved, let me ask you something. If all of these people are so goddamn elite, why do all of their emails read like they were scrawled in crayon by an illiterate, meth-addicted hobgoblin? Like, I've seen better writing carved into the stall divider of a truck stop bathroom. I'm not so much reading these emails as I am sifting through the rubble of a grammatical 9/11. Like, what do they dictate these things to a mitten-wearing cat that was waltzing across their keyboard at the time? These people are supposed to be like Fortune 500 CEOs and billionaires. And it's like every one of them got into a fight with the English language in a parking lot and lost. Okay, these people are doing things to punctuation that would have E.E. Cummings throwing up into a corner. Like, what are they elite at? Causing their spell check to have a panic attack so severe it gets placed under involuntary psychiatric hold? My God, this country has got to have the dumbest fucking billionaires on the goddamn planet. These people aren't evil geniuses. They're just fucking evil.
Yeah, great stuff. Hi, jumping in here from editing land to say, we don't actually know how many times Trump is mentioned in the files. Some sources say that it's over 38,000 times. Some people say that it's as low as 5,300. Most people agree that he's mentioned way more than any other name in the files. But the reason why we don't actually have an accurate count, the primary reason is they are still heavily redacted. But one interesting thing that has been reported lately is that the word don't is retracted a lot. In a lot of sentences and a lot of different documents, the word D-O-N apostrophe T, don't, is redacted. And people are hypothesizing that the reason why that word is redacted is because the DOJ, under the direction of Donald Trump, told an AI to scan through the files for instances of his name and to auto-redact those. So basically that AI auto-redacted the word don't because it saw Don T, D-O-N-T. And if you've got a better theory on why that might be happening, feel free to let me know in the comments, but it just does seem like the president told the DOJ to take his name out of the files as much as possible, and even still, his name appears more than any other name. Okay, back to the show. Fantastic stuff, and it's so true, and it's, like, also so depressing that they're all just so dumb. They're all so helplessly dumb, and they're all, and, like, such fucking losers. The way that they're all like, hey, let's party down! Girls, girls, girls! But the biggest loser of them all, well, not the biggest loser, but one of the biggest losers of them all, and he's such a loser that he can't even hang with the other pedophile losers, with the other dumb losers, is Elon Musk. You guys, that email from Elon Musk where he was like, hey, looking to party, and it's literally like Dougie from that Kyle Mooney sketch.
Well, since you're in such a good mood, can I have a party on Saturday night?
Sure, go ahead and party down.
It's literally like Elon Musk is like, girls, FTW, girls for the win. And he's such a loser. Elon Musk is such a loser that he can't even get invited to the loser billionaire pedophile party. And Jeffrey Epstein he forwards that email to Ghislaine Maxwell and he's like, deal with this, please. He just goes like, please deal with this. And then Ghislaine Maxwell's like, hey, Elon, we actually stopped doing those parties. Yeah, they, you know what? We don't do them anymore. Bummer. She writes, bummer. She's like, but if we ever start them up again, we'll let you know. It's so crazy. Like, Elon Musk is Mark Zuckerberg at the beginning of the movie trying to get into the social clubs, but he's trying to get into, like, the loser billionaire pedophile social club, and he can't even get into that one. They're like, no, no, thank you. Like, that's how off-putting that guy is. Holy shit. But what's really crazy, I almost slipped up and said Elon is the biggest loser of them all. What's really crazy to me is there is a bigger loser than Elon. There's a much bigger loser than Elon. Like, a guy who is so losery, who is such a, like, phenomenal loser dork. And you all in the audience, in the TikTok digital studio audience, and on YouTube, wherever you're watching, you already know who I'm talking about, right? Who's a bigger loser than Elon? Who in the world could possibly out-loser Elon? Who could possibly be a bigger dork, a less likable, less charismatic dork than Elon Musk? Obviously, it's the president of the United States. And the crazy thing about that is that somehow, beyond all comprehension, beyond all odds, not only is he, like, the biggest loser, not only is he the dumbest of all of these dumb losers, like, he's, like, the dumbest, the biggest Nepo baby who, like, nothing in his career he earned. Nothing in his career was ever, like, done on merit. He didn't earn anything through the prowess of his brain or his capabilities. He's just a fucking simpleton who's such an unbelievably unlikable, uncharismatic loser in everything that he does, who his entire life has had a haircut that just no one in the history of humanity has had. And people have been making fun of his haircut for literally decades. For decades, people have been like, why does your hair look like that? And he's just like, because it's cool. You wish your hair looked like that. It's like, nobody wishes their hair looked like that. Even his most devoted cult members aren't going out to their barber and being like, hook me up with the Trump. Hook me up with that haircut. Nobody in history has ever had that haircut. And not in, like, a cool way, like David Bowie's hair in Labyrinth or something, where, like, you know, like, actually a lot of people in the 80s did have that hair. But, like, nobody's had that haircut in the worst way. Like, there are classic loser haircuts, you know, that you when you think about, like, a classic dork with, like, a bowl cut and big thick glasses and maybe, like, a little mini part in the middle, and it's like like, Trump's haircut is the worst haircut of all time, and he's never had style. He's never been well dressed in his entire career as, like, a famously wealthy person who tries to surround himself with opulence. He's never had good taste. He's always been tacky, and he's always been made fun of for having bad taste and for being tacky. And somehow that guy became king loser, tricked a cult of millions of people into being like, I think he's cool. Even though it's like, no, you don't. If you thought he was cool, then you would dress like him and you would cut your hair like him and you would talk more like you would try to be like him. We try to be like cool people. The thing about actually cool people is they're trendsetters. They do something and the rest of us are like, well, I want to be like that. Even Donald Trump's most devoted supporters don't act like him or dress like him. They like sign off on all of the crazy loser behavior that he does and they pretend to think it's cool, but then they don't go out and like try to look like him. They're like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm all right. Like, you keep that. You keep that to yourself. And he's literally always been this way. I saw this interview the other day from like 1990 that he did with Barbara Walters. And it was right after one of the many times he had to declare bankruptcy.
You write in your book, "My bankers and I worked out a terrific deal that allows me to come out stronger than ever. I see the deal as a great victory, and eventually the rest of the world will too. Being on the verge of bankruptcy, being bailed out by the banks.
Well, you don't have to say
that. Skating on thin ice and almost drowning."
The way he goes, well, you don't have to say it like that. And then when it cuts back, she cuts him off. Like, this would never happen today. The Trump that we know today who like just bulldozes over interviewers and just goes like, yeah, shut up. You're a terrible interviewer. You suck. You're terrible. Why don't you smile for me? Shut up. What a nasty question. He tries to get a word in edgewise. He's like, well, you don't have to say it like that. And she cuts him off. She's like, no, you declared bankruptcy. And then it cuts back to his face and he's like, it's just like the saddest, most dejected face ever. And this is just him before he was allowed to just plow over people and be like, no, wrong. Wrong. Fake news.
That's a businessman to be admired.
You say on the verge of bankruptcy, Barbara, and you talk on the verge and you listen to what people are saying.
I talk to your bankers.
Well, that's fine. And what do they say? I mean, you know, depending on which banker you're talking to, what do they
Well, I mean, you talk to people. I talk to your bankers. Well, that's fine. I mean, depending on which banker you talked to. And she just goes, several. Like, this was in a day and age when Barbara Walters was the shit. When Barbara Walters, like, ran shit in the interview game. And you got to know that, like, for Donald Trump, for a lifelong loser, just getting an exclusive interview with Barbara Walters just makes him feel like, no, but whether I'm doing poorly or not, this is good. Like, this is cool. It's a cool look that Barbara Walters is interviewing me. And she's just not going soft on him at all. She's like, I talked to the bankers that you work with, and they said you're a fucking idiot who doesn't know what he's doing with money. And he's like, well, but which ones? But come on.
Chance is by selling that property out there totally, the Plaza.
Well, I don't know what the bankers have said. The Plaza is a very valuable property. Everybody told me, oh, you paid too much. Now they're all saying what a great deal he made on the Plaza.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I wish we could go back in time to when, like, that's how it was. The way that she just goes, no, they're not. He goes, he's still doing the thing that he does now where he goes, everybody's saying that I'm really smart. He goes, everybody's saying that I made such a good deal. And her response is just, no, they're not. No, Barbara, everyone's saying that I'm cool. Like, they're saying that I'm cool and smart. And she's like, no, nobody's saying that. You're a fucking loser. You're bad at business. All of the bankers that you worked with, I talked to all of them. They hate you. But yeah, somehow that guy, King Loser, managed to start a successful cult who will lie to your face and pretend to think he's cool, even though they know he's not. They'll pretend to think that, like, his shitty dance moves are cool, and they'll pretend to think that, like, that he's handsome and well-dressed and classy. They'll just tell you this, and it's like, then decorate your house like that. If you think that that's the height of style and opulence, then decorate your house like that. And to a certain degree, like, they do with the maximalism of the MAGA aesthetic, the 50 flags on the back of your truck so that there's no way you can see behind you while you're driving, the tons of bumper stickers, but it's still like their own version of Trump's thing. They're still not like doing the gold everywhere and the tie that's too long and the ill-fitting suit and the bad haircut, but they are doing the like gaudy over-the-top maximalism. That's the thing, is what we actually have to get into is like, okay, cool. Somehow the biggest loser in the world managed to convince tens of millions of people to pretend that he's cool. But here's the question. So the fuck what? Are the people in his cult cool people? Are they the kind of people who you want to think you're cool? What Mark Zuckerberg wants isn't just an army of sycophants that he pays to be his friends. Mark Zuckerberg wants actually cool people with actual, like, earned status in society to think he's cool. And that's what Donald Trump wants. Donald Trump wants Barbara Walters to like him in that interview. He wants to go in and have Barbara Walters be like, "You're such an impressive person. I know that you were given a leg up by your dad, but you really went and made something of yourself. You're such a, like, I read your book, and you're such an incisive and smart person." And instead she sits down with him and she's like, "I read your book. You're a fucking idiot, man. You don't know anything about anything. Everyone in the business world laughs at you. No one likes you." Sorry, just got to jump in here one more time from Editor World. It occurs to me that this whole concept of Trump not being satisfied with the followers that he has, wishing that his followers were cooler, wishing that he was liked and respected by more likable and more respectable people, this is even like a well-worn trope in movies and literature. The trope of the villain who has the sycophantic, simpering right-hand man who's obsessed with him, but who he can't stand. It's LeFou and Gaston. It's Smee and Captain Hook. It's Iago and Jafar, even though Iago also kind of secretly hates Jafar as well. But this comes up all the time, the way that villains are not satisfied with the friends that they have, that they don't like the people who want to be around them the most. And we know that Donald Trump wants cooler friends. We know that he wants access to cooler parties. That's why he spends so much time freaking out about award shows every time there's an award show on, because he's not invited. They don't want him there. In very stereotypical and characteristic fashion, he wrote this unhinged diatribe after the Grammys recently, and I'm gonna let this guy Facebook comments read it for you, because nobody does a better dramatic reading of the proper vibe and tone of Trump's writing voice than he does.
"The Grammy Awards are the worst! Virtually unwatchable. CBS is lucky not to have this garbage litter their airwaves any longer. The host, Trevor Noah, whoever he may be, is almost as bad as Jimmy Kimmel at the Low Ratings Academy Awards. Noah said incorrectly about me that Donald Trump and Bill Clinton spent time on Epstein Island. Wrong! I can't speak for Bill, but I have never been to Epstein Island, nor anywhere close. And until tonight's false and defamatory statement, have never been accused of being there. Not even by the fake news media. Noah, a total loser, better get his facts straight and get them straight fast. It looks like I'll be sending my lawyers to sue this poor, pathetic, talentless dope of an MC and suing him for plenty dollar sign. Ask little George Sloppadopoulos and others how that all worked out. Also ask CBS. Get ready, Noah. I'm gonna have some fun with you. President DJT."
Hand in hand with the trope of the right-hand sycophantic assistant who the villain can't stand is the trope of the villain treating his most devoted followers and workers as utterly dispensable, disposable, expendable nothings. The way that Darth Vader is just willing to choke anyone to death who dares to speak to him in any manner that he finds displeasing. It's such an easy go-to tool for writers to use if they want to let you know how evil a bad guy is, that they'll just show you a bad guy killing one of his henchmen or multiple of his henchmen to show that he doesn't even care about the people who are the most devoted to him. him who are the most important to his cause. And once again, we see this in real life with the Trump cult all the time.
I'm Hispanic and I vote for Mr. Trump. We vote for Mr. Trump! Yes! Mr. Trump!
Beyond betrayed. They used us. They actually, during the campaign, and I don't want to make this political, but during the campaign, the elected officials from the Republican Party, they actually told us that it was not going to touch the documented people.
I will vote for Donald Trump. Let's go!
I say all the time that in order to be in the MAGA cult, you have to be one of three things. You have to be either stupid, evil, or both. And as much as I am fully in support of all of the Latino people who are unfortunately experiencing the worst of the violence from ICE right now, and as much as they have my compassion and my empathy and my wholehearted support, those people are fucking idiots. The people in that video, idiots, morons. To get duped like that, to let the villains be like, oh, no, no, don't worry. We won't come after you. No, no, don't worry. You're safe. You're safe. And to believe them, dumbasses of the highest order. Not evil. I don't think those people are evil, but dumb. His whole cult is that. It's just nothing but the biggest losers in the world. And it's so, it must be, like, we know it's so unsatisfying for him that all of his followers are just the biggest fuck-ass dorks in the world. I'm just gonna go through like a very, 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 very short list. There's this guy that I see on threads all the time that goes by Never Woke, and it's kind of funny because his name is Never Woke X, which I think he made that his screen name because he started on X, and so his name was like Never Woke on X, but it looks like it says Never Woke X, as in like your ex partner, like your Never Woke ex partner. And it just kind of looks like a self own where he's like, every person I date breaks up with me after 6 months because I'm such a piece of shit and I'm such a fucking loser. But this guy just posts videos of him wearing a MAGA hat and going to Disney World and just doing the Trump dance. And every time I see him, I'm like, this is a whole cult full of losers, but this guy might be the biggest fucking loser of, he's such a fuck-ass dork. He's such an incredible, and also the fact that, like, you're in a cult of pedophiles, people who support billionaire pedophiles, you're running cover for pedophiles, protecting pedophiles, and then going to Disney World and dancing around children in that pedophile hat. It's all just, like, really bad. But then there was this amazing video from Jake Lang, who was an insurrectionist at January 6th, who was pardoned by Donald Trump, and he posted this video.
Pro-life, baby! America first, America only!
So many people on the internet are going in on this video right now, and rightly so. It's so crazy. Obviously, he couldn't do another take. By the way, he got arrested for that little stunt. I think he got like charged with vandalism or something because it was an ice sculpture outside of, I think, like City Hall in Minneapolis or something. That might be wrong. If it's wrong, I'll fact check it on the screen. But and he went, it's a prosecute ice, and he went to like show how strong he is in these tight, ill-fitting camouflage pants with this stupid cosplayer flak jacket that's like, why do you have that on, you fucking dork? And then it was supposed to be like threatening and imposing and physically intimidating. Watch with the ease with which I destroy this ice sculpture. And he just, it's so like embarrassing how hard it is for him, and him slipping all over the place, slipping on that first step, slipping as he's walking back over it. And the fact is, like, yeah, he couldn't do another take because it was kind of a one and done, right? It's like you either nail the first take or you don't. But I love that people like this will watch that and be like, sick, I look cool. I hate to like rag on the kind of guys that, you know, like fedora wearing sword guys, but it's that. It's fedora wearing sword guy behavior, being like, I'm going to take a video of me with no shirt on with my fedora and my katana, and I'm going to like do some moves, and then I'm going to look at the video and be like, that's sick. Like, I look awesome. And that's the whole MAGA cult, is people driving around in a giant truck, everyone in the world looking at them and being like, what a loser. What a fucking loser with all these flags, but them thinking like, I look sick. I have these glasses, you know, that like, they're like, I look dope. I look sick in my cyber truck that I painted to look like an American flag. Everyone thinks I'm cool and nobody thinks they're cool. I don't even know that other people in the cult think they look cool. How about this clip of this guy who got his shit rocked by a bunch of teenagers, this MAGA dude that, by the way, just context for this clip, there were a bunch of teenagers who walked out of school to protest ICE, and this MAGA chud pulls up in his truck, gets out of his truck and starts assaulting kids because MAGA chuds be assaulting kids. That's just what they be doing. And then this gang of high schoolers just absolutely rocked this guy's shit right off. Just beat the brakes off of this guy and chased him back into his car. And it was so funny because all the MAGA accounts were like, so this is what the left is teaching their kids to do, to assault people. And it's like, first of all, that was an adult who got out of his lifted truck that he is too short to own and then tried to fight a bunch of teenagers and then really fucked around and found out. Like, you guys are loving saying FAFO. That is the literal definition of FAFO, is thinking that you can go and take on like 30 kids and then just getting the shit kicked out of you and just getting embarrassed and getting back in your truck and being like, all right, well, I think I made my point. Fucking losers. But oh my God, this next clip genuinely was difficult to watch. Like, it's nauseating, and we're gonna watch a good amount of it. This is Kid Rock performing at a conservative, I don't know, like a CPAC event or something. I don't know what the fucking event was, but they had this on C-SPAN. There's so many aspects of this video that are so losery. The C-SPAN logo being in the bottom right corner, it's so crazy. Let's just...
I'm back with the Beaver hats and Ben Davis slacks, 30 pack of Stroll, straight rock and roll. No wrong gain in the propane flow. The chosen one, I'm the living proof with the gift to gab from the city.
JD and his, the effort from the sycophants in the cult trying to be like, this is good. Watching this, like, 55-year-old poorly lip sync to a really bad song alone on stage is cool. Yeah. And just seeing the people in the audience be like, mm-hmm. And trying to be like, no, we like this. No, this is good. This is better. This is better than Bad Bunny or Green Day. This is good.
And not critics back. And I did not start a win. I said, yeah, I'm going platinum selling rock.
But what's maybe more pathetic than J.D. Vance, like, pretending that he likes it, is when they cut to this guy who's just full on into it. Just this guy that's just like, yeah! Yeah! Oh, God. Oh, my God. It's so crazy.
7 times, still the ill and want to see us fry. I guess
the white people dance moves, the, like... The fact that, like, these are all people that would 100% be like, hip hop's a degenerate form of music, and they literally just mean when black people do it. They're just like, when black people rap, I don't know what you're saying with all of that hippity dippity doo wop a bop bop. Like, it's so crazy. And then they watch this and they're like, now I like when someone raps. I think actually rapping like this is good, even though it's just dog shit bars. Like, he's just saying fucking nothing of value.
Because only God knows why. Why? They call me cowboy. I'm a singer in black. Throw a fist in the air. Let me see where you rap. Say fight, fight. Say fight, fight. Say fight, fight. Now say Trump, Trump.
Not the, like, not the out of sync fight and Trump chants, and then him trying to pull his jacket off and it getting stuck. Oh, and like his gut like falling out of his shirt as he's like falling backwards trying to take his jacket off. Dude!
Like AC/DC and ZZ Top, we'll see this beast, he's in the Kings of Rock.
I liked it, like, all of the bands he just said, like AC/DC and ZZ Top, and then he talked about the Beasties. Maybe ZZ Top would be down with Kid Rock, but like AC/DC doesn't fuck with Kid Rock. Like, they don't like you back, bud. And the Beastie Boys definitely don't like you back. Like, the Beasties don't rock with Kid Rock, dude. It's so crazy that this cult of fucking dorks and losers is going to do their own halftime show because they're so impossibly racist that they're just like, I can't watch a halftime show if the guy speaks Spanish. If the guy doing the halftime show speaks Spanish, I can't watch it. And also, like, that they just refuse to grasp the concept that Puerto Rico is part of America, that, like, he's an American citizen. They're just like, nope, he has an accent when he speaks. Can't do it. And that they have to go and pretend that Kid Rock is going to put on a better show than Bad Bunny, that's a cooler thing to do. The whole world is going to be tuning in to watch Bad Bunny and Green Day. The whole world, everyone cool in the world is going to be tuning in to watch Bad Bunny and Green Day. And they're going to be like, it's actually cooler over here. Actually, our other party there's nothing more loser than being so ostracized from cool people that you just have to start your own clubs. Like, I think at the end of the day, that's what the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing is about, is it's just them being like, fine, if you won't let us be cool, then we'll just go do our own thing and we'll just fucking be like evil. That is so, it's such loser behavior to be like, trying to be liked by cool, compassionate, kind, intelligent people. And when those people refuse you, just going like, fine, then I'll be the worst. It's that SNL sketch where guys are hitting on, I think it's like Cecily Strong. They're like trying to hit on her at the bar. And they're like, hey, sorry that these guys are all being so crazy. And as soon as she says like, oh, I'm not interested in going home with you, they go like,
okay, bitch.
What?
I'm wearing this shirt and you won't even let me nut.
It's that sketch. It's like they're willing to pretend that they're cool and progressive and smart until cool, progressive, smart people are like, no, thanks. We're good. We don't need you here. And then they're like, well, I didn't want to be here anyway. I'm actually going to go do my own halftime show. And that's actually what I wanted. Actually, no, I'm just gonna go fuck kids on an island. You pushed me to it. I love that one where they're like, well, you guys kept calling us racist, so we had no choice to be racist. By the way, they're all racist. King Loser posted a photo today during Black History Month of the former president and his wife as apes. These moments where it's like, we all watch Alex Pretty get shot in the head in the street, and we're like, hey, can you guys just say that that's murder? And they're just like, like, just like wildly grasping for like, oh no, he was reaching for something. Oh, he had a gun tucked in his waistband. Like, they just desperately reaching for like how to figure out how to fuck around and find out he shouldn't have been there. Why was he filming? He was an agitator. You know, Elon does the Sig Heil and they're just like, awkward gesture. He's autistic. You know, and then like this, where it's just like, hey guys, the president is racist and you're racist if you support him. This is objectively, plainly, disgustingly racist. And he's been doing this shit his entire life. He's always been this guy. And they're like, no. If you watch the full video, the full context of the video, it shows that like there are other animals in the video. Like Hillary Clinton is like a giraffe or something. So, you know, it's like, okay. First of all, he just shared a screenshot of the video. He didn't share the whole video. He just shared that screenshot during Black History Month of a former president. And second of all, even in the full context of the video, why are the Obamas monkeys? What the fuck are you talking about? You're racist losers. Okay, so obviously the supporters in the cult are losers, but there are also like celebrities, right? So at least some of the celebrities that are MAGA, some of the celebrities that support Donald Trump, at least some of them are cool, right? I mean, Kid Rock was never cool. Like, there was, let's be honest, there was never a time when mainstream society fucked with Kid Rock. Like, there was a time when Kid Rock had enough support, like, he had enough niche fans that for some reason people were allowing him to pretend like he was cool, but he was never actually cool. But surely there are other people in the Trump cult, celebrities who are actually cool, right? The Trump, the celebrities in the MAGA cult are, it's littered with people who were once cool. I mean, some of them have never been cool. There's a lot of people in the Kid Rock category where it's like, Kevin Sorbo was never really cool. But like, I don't know, let's think about people like Kanye, you know, Ye, Nicki Minaj, Mel Gibson, Elon Musk even was cool at a certain point. Believe it or not, people thought Elon Musk was kind of like a smart, woke billionaire who was trying to do good things with his wealth and influence. Sylvester Stallone. The coolest guy when I was growing up was Sylvester Stallone. It was a war at the box office every year between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, and I was a Stallone guy. He's better. All right, Rocky and Rambo are better characters than the T-800. And I don't care what you say, I'm right about that. The Terminator is an interesting franchise, and T2 is one of the greatest action movies ever made, but Rocky is just such a lovable character. And it bums me out that the guy who created the character of Rocky Balboa, who at his core, even though he's a professional fighter, Rocky's just a sweetheart. He's just a sweetie pie. I mean, in the first movie, he does do some like really kind of problematic stuff with Adrian on dates where he's like not letting her leave the house until she kisses him. And it's, you know, just like, you just gotta like not think about that part too hard. But overall in the franchise, Rocky is, he's a sweetie. He's a sweetie pie. And it bums me out to see Sylvester Stallone at Trump rallies and at Trump events. But also you got to remember that Sylvester Stallone's brain is like 90% HGH at this point. He's not like writing good screenplays anymore. He's not really like producing good projects. He's going where a lot of washed up conservative guys go. And he's got his own show in the Taylor Sheridan cinematic universe of TV shows. It is interesting to see though. There's this phenomenon where when people were cool, and then they get conservative, it's not just that by virtue of being conservative and having shitty values, they become less cool. Like, their art and creativity suffers as a result as well. Like, the stuff that they create, the stuff that they make, almost immediately gets worse. Kanye's music got measurably worse the worse his mental health got. And obviously with Kanye, we can sort of try to make this caveat that, like, he's not well. But I don't know. I know a lot of people who have a lot of comorbid mental illness diagnoses, myself included, and it doesn't just turn us into Nazis. There's a lot more going on there than just like, I've got BPD, I've got bipolar disorder. It's like, yeah, I know a lot of people with BPD. I know a lot of people with bipolar. I know a lot of people with panic disorder. I know a lot of people with PTSD. They're not Nazis. They're not making songs called Heil Hitler. You know, they're not making Poop Diddy Scoop. Like, there was a time when people thought Kanye might be a musical genius. And then as he became more and more deranged, his art was just like incomprehensibly bad. Nicki Minaj's latest tracks are dog shit. And it's not just like a biased perspective of like, I don't like them anymore because she's MAGA. They're worse. They're worse. Her songs just used to be better. Her bars are like, she's gotten worse at rapping. She's just like a worse lyricist. Elon Musk, at a certain point, and again, I don't actually credit Elon Musk with actually inventing anything. Sorry. He didn't invent anything. He tricked people into thinking that he invented cool things. He would buy companies where engineers were already working on cool ideas, and then he would just slap his name on it and say, I did that. But there was a time when people thought of Elon Musk as like, hey, it's cool that at least one of these loser billionaires is trying to use his wealth and influence to do something ostensibly helpful and good. Making electric cars cool is something that should be good. That's a good thing to say, I'm going to make electric cars sexy and cool and desirable. And he almost got away with revolutionizing the automobile industry by doing that. And then he tanked all of the good faith that he had with consumers. And also, as he became progressively more and more anti-woke mind virus, Elon, his cars started to suck more and more too. And we even started to see that, like, the earlier cars that we thought were cool suck. They suck. He's been saying for years that they're going to go fully automated. You know, it's like, it's going to happen by 2019. It's going to happen by 2020. It's going to happen by 2021. It doesn't work. The fucking, like, inlaid handles on the door. People are getting in, like, car wrecks where they need to pry people out of the car and they can't get into the car because of these stupid fucking door handles. These cars are catching on fire all the time. And then he invents the ugliest car of all time that is just the most, like, made fun of and derided garbage piece of shit that is, it's literally just the loser mobile. It's just anyone who owns one is the biggest loser in the world. Anything we thought about him as, like, a cool guy who's making cool things goes out the window. I don't know if people, there might be people who don't really remember this or who aren't willing to accept this. Mel Gibson was cool. He was cool. Sorry to say it, Mel Gibson was cool. 90s Mel Gibson ripped. Not even 80s Mel Gibson, 90s Mel Gibson? Braveheart, dude? A movie about a guy who was overthrowing a tyrannical government who had no business trying to take over his countrymen. A movie about a guy who, like, single-handedly led a revolution, who was willing to die for his principles. That movie was fucking... That movie is goated, all right? And he directed it and starred in it, dude. And it won Best Picture at the Oscars. Mel Gibson was cool, all right? And then he revealed to the world that he was a rabid anti-Semite and a total racist, and everyone was like, we don't like you. And he did what all of these people did. He showed us that he was never actually cool. He was performing the image of what cool people look like. And then as soon as we found out who he really was and we tried to hold him accountable for his shitty behavior, he picked up his ball and went, fine, I'm going home, I'm gonna switch teams. Fuck you guys. And it's, again, loser behavior. In order to be a progressive, it takes thick skin. In order to be someone who actually stands on business when it comes to sticking up for marginalized communities and opposing tyranny, fighting back against fascism and authoritarianism, you need to be willing to be called out and be accountable by your peers, because it happens regularly. I can tell you from experience, my audience loves to call me out and hold me accountable anytime they find me saying even the slightest thing wrong. Even if they 100% agree with a video that I've made, if I've made a factual error somewhere in that video, if I've reported a factual error that doesn't even substantively change the point of the video, or doesn't even substantively change, like, the validity of the argument in the video, if I was, like, off on the date of something, if it's like, I said something happened on, you know, December 5th and it happened on December 6th, my audience will be in the comments going, hey, just want to flag that for misinformation and let you know that you messed up there. People on the left hold each other accountable, and you've got to be able to deal with it. I am a leftist, and I fucking hate online leftists. They drive me insane. Sometimes I hate dealing with online leftists more than I hate dealing with MAGA people, because they should know better. They should be smart enough to understand how bad their political strategy is and how stupid their talking points are, how unserious they are. When online leftists are like, it would have been just as bad under Harris and you guys just wouldn't have cared. You guys just wouldn't have cared. Harris would have been doing all this. It's so fucking goofy and unserious, but I know I have to try to build a coalition with these people still. The fact that I get pissed off by other online leftists and that they bother me doesn't make me go, fine, I'll be a pedophile then. Fine, I'm MAGA now. Okay, so you guys didn't watch all of my videos on Palestine, and now you're saying that I'm a shill for Israel and that I don't actually support Palestine? Well, in that case, I just will shill for Israel. Then in that case, I just will start taking Israeli money. That's loser behavior. And that's what all of these people did. At some point, cool, intelligent, kind, compassionate, progressive, trend-setting people liked Mel Gibson and Sylvester Stallone and Kanye and Nicki Minaj and then and even Elon Musk. And as soon as we found out that there was this whole level of losery, racist, ignorant, uneducated, bigoted bullshit under the veneer of their coolness, we went, oh, you got to fix that. Like, sorry, you're not invited to the party anymore till you fix that. You got to fix that. You got to like own that publicly and do like a lot of work and get that sorted. And they were like, well, in that case, I guess I just will go to Jeffrey Epstein's island. If you're just going to throw me out because I said one thing about the Jews that you didn't like, then I guess I just will Heil Hitler. You're a loser. You were never cool to begin with. We had you pegged wrong. You were performing coolness well, and then the cracks started to show, and you ran away back to your loser cave with the other losers. While we're on the topic of potentially cool MAGA celebrities, let's talk about the Sydney Sweeney of it all. There is nothing, I think, the MAGA, like, and this is also, like, so indicative of, like, what pathetic losers and dorks they all are. There's no one I think they're more excited about in the MAGA world right now than Sydney Sweeney. They're all so excited to have her on their team because what it looks like is someone who's mainstream successful, who goes to the mainstream award shows and mainstream, you know, entertainment industry events, who's like conventionally attractive in a way that most people agree on, who seems to be well-liked by young people and who like gets invited to things that other MAGA celebrities don't get invited to. So they are just parading her around every chance they get going like, we got Sydney Sweeney. They love to hold up pictures of Sydney Sweeney and be like, this is what a real woman looks like. This is what a MAGA woman looks like. By the way, even though Sydney Sweeney is a registered Republican and even though she made that jeans ad that she like refused to speak out meaningly on and be like, no, I wasn't talking about eugenics. And even though she talked about how she thought it was really surreal and cool when Donald Trump posted on Truth Social about her eugenics ad, Sydney Sweeney still seems apprehensive to accept the MAGA title. Like when people try to press her on it, she's just sort of like, apolitical. She does the thing that a lot of people do where they, when they still want to be thought of as cool and they just go like, I'm apolitical. Don't box me in. And that whole apolitical thing is more evidence of how these people know that like believing the things that they believe isn't cool. They don't want people to know how racist they are. They don't want people to know that they're okay with billionaires raping kids. They don't want people to know that they're okay with all of the misogyny and homophobia and transphobia. They know that that's not cool. So they just go apolitical. I actually don't have any opinions. Weirdly, I'm just one of those people who, like, I don't have thoughts. I don't actually think things about things. Yes, I'm registered Republican, but that's not because I have opinions on shit. My opinion is, like, we're all just friends, dude. We're all just hanging out. Let's just, like, come on, like, keep inviting me to the parties, please. It's fine. We don't need to worry about what my personal politics are. But it's so crazy because it's like for the first time in a long time, they seem to have someone who fits the mold of what they're looking for in a legitimately cool person that they would be okay with. Because even when it's Kanye, they're kind of like hesitant to claim him because he's black and they're racist. Even when it's Nicki Minaj, I think you can feel the hesitancy to embrace her because, again, she's black and she's a woman and they're racist and they're misogynistic. But when it's Sydney Sweeney, they're like, blonde, white, big naturals. We won. And it's so crazy because they're just like, we've got Sydney Sweeney. And we're like, cool, we've got literally every other conventionally attractive celebrity in the world. All of the other ones, you can have her. And it's also crazy because, like, who the fuck cares what Sydney Sweeney looks like? Who cares that you finally managed to get someone on your team who, like, a lot of people agree is conventionally attractive, who doesn't seem to have, like, a ton of work done yet, who's young enough to have not yet had a ton of work done on their face and on their body. The worth of a person, the worth of a woman is not tied to their physical aesthetic, but these people care, again, because they're losers and dorks, and because they're misogynistic, and because they're idiots, and they're dumb. But it's like, we've got all the other hot ones, if that's the thing that you care about. Also, we've got fucking Meryl Streep, dude. We've got Emma Thompson, we got Kate Blanchett, we got Viola Davis, okay? You can keep her. You can keep her. We've got all the heavy hitters. That's, if that's your best card, like, they've got Greg Gutfeld as their late night comedian. We got John Oliver, John Stewart, Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert. You can keep Gutfeld. They've got Scott Baio, Dean Cain, and Rob Schneider. We've got Mark Ruffalo, Keanu Reeves, Pedro Pascal, and legends like Sir Ian McKellen, Tom Hanks, and Steven Spielberg. We've got Aaron Sorkin, dude, who, whomst on the right, is writing screenplays on the level of Aaron Sorkin. Who? Where is their comparison? Who do they have that can write a speech that even comes close to this?
My name is Jenny. I'm a sophomore, and this is for all three of you. Can you say in one sentence or less what... you know what I mean. Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis?
Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, the New York Jets. No, I'm going to hold you to an answer on that. What makes America the greatest country in the world?
Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing.
You don't look satisfied. One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you. Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how can they lose so goddamn always? Hey. And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one.
America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Enough?
Sorkin's writing can be so uplifting and depressing to me at the same time because there's such an optimism in the way he writes. I watched the movie The American President recently, and it's, you know, it's a brilliantly written movie because, of course, it is. I think that Aaron Sorkin is probably the greatest living screenwriter right now. The reverence that he has for the office of the president, and that's, it's like, I want to rewatch The West Wing, but I can't bring myself to do it because I think it's just going to be sad to be reminded that holding that office used to mean something. Whether we were kidding ourselves about that or not, I don't know. We might have just been tricking ourselves into thinking that it meant something to hold that title and to sit at that desk. And it might have always just been evil billionaire pedophiles who were better at covering their tracks. But it sure felt like there used to be a certain dignity and an expectation of how the representative, the key representative of our country ought to carry themselves on the world stage that has just been obliterated over the last 10 years. The president of the United States is tweeting out pictures of former presidents as monkeys. The first black president in the history of our country in the year 2026. They hate us because they ain't us. And they want so desperately to be like us. They want so desperately to have our eloquence, our humanity, our compassion. But they don't know that those are the things they should be wanting. They just know that something about us, they're trying to get at. They're like Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network doesn't get the Phoenix Club is just some fucking dime a dozen frat. It's just a frat of a bunch of Nepo babies. There's nothing special about the Phoenix Club. The Phoenix Club isn't cool either. This is Mark Zuckerberg, like, it's him just missing the point of what makes something cool. It's not exclusivity. It's not status. It's not power. It's not money. It's a soul. It's humanity. It's compassion. It's the ability to articulate an idea in a way where it lands and is emotionally understood and felt by the people who you are communicating it to. It's the ability to speak words into existence that will echo into eras long after you've died. The reality is, it doesn't matter how many millions of people join the MAGA cult. It doesn't matter how many billions of dollars they earn. They're pathetic. They don't have the respect of respectable people. And ignorant bigots never do. We're going to watch one more clip. And this is one that went viral the last few days. I even made a video about it. This is Ian McKellen on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And we're going to watch the entire thing, so bear with me, but it's worth it.
It's all happening 400 years ago, and in London there's a riot happening. There's a mob out in the streets, and they're shouting the odds and complaining and saying that the immigrants should be sent back home, wherever they came from. The authorities send out this young lawyer, Thomas More, to put down the riot, which he does in two ways. One, by saying that you can't riot like this, it's against the law, so shut up, be quiet. And also, being by Shakespeare, with an appeal to their humanity. So in order to set it up, we really need somebody to shout that the strangers should be removed. Could someone do that?
The
grant them removed! And grant that this your noise hath chid down all the majesty of England. Imagine that you see the wretched strangers, their babies at their backs, with their poor luggage, plodding to the ports and coasts for transportation. And that you sit as kings in your desires, authority quite silenced by your brawl, and you in ruff of your opinions clothed. What had you got? I'll tell you. You had taught how insolence and strong hands should prevail, how order should be quelled. And by this pattern, not one of you should live an aged man, for other ruffians, as their fancies wrought, with self-same hand, self-reason, and self-right, would shark on you, and men like ravenous fishes feed on one another. You'll put down strangers, kill them, cut their throats, possess their houses. Oh, desperate as you are, wash your foul minds with tears. And those same hands that you, like rebels, lift against the peace, lift up for peace. And your unreverent knees, make them your feet to kneel to be forgiven. And say now the king, as he is clement, if the offender mourn should so much come too short of your great trespasses, but to banish you, whither would you go? What country, by the nature of your error, should give you harbour? Go you to France or Flanders, to any German province, Spain or Portugal, nay, anywhere that not adheres to England? Why, you must needs be strangers. Would you be pleased to find a nation of such barbarous temper that breaking out in hideous violence would not afford you an abode on earth? Whet their detested knives against your throats, spurn you like dogs, and like as if that God owned not, nor made not you, nor that the elements were not all appropriate to your comforts, but chartered unto them. What would you think to be thus used? This is the stranger's case. And this, your mountainish inhumanity. William Shakespeare, 400 years ago.
My God, that line. This is the stranger's case, and this, your mountainish inhumanity. My take on that, when I posted a short video, was that there's a few different ways you can look at it. One is rather depressing. You can look at it and think, oh, so we've always been like this. There have always been bigots. There have always been ignorant, uneducated, violently stupid, cruel people who are terrified of strangers and who want the strangers out. And they can't articulate why they think that. They've just been told that the strangers are dangerous and that we should fear them. There have always been those people. And that's depressing because it means that our efforts to educate those people, our efforts to fix that problem, our efforts to progress have been fruitless. It means that the conversation that we're having right now, we were having the same conversation 400 years ago, and nothing has changed. The bigots persist despite our best efforts. And that's one way you can look at it. But the other way you could look at it is, even though those people have always existed, there have also always been people who were kind, intelligent, compassionate, articulate, who are calling those people out and pointing out their mountainish inhumanity, pointing out the error in their souls, the flaws in their philosophy. And what we really see is that history doesn't care about the words and the thoughts of the crowds of bigots because they're losers and no one cares to know what their thoughts were. Because we know what their thoughts are. They're unimportant, unoriginal, uninteresting, drivel. Just a bunch of garden variety, bigoted, ignorant nonsense. We know we don't need to look into, well, why were they so afraid of strangers? We know that it's just the same old ignorant nonsense. It's just people too dumb to know how dumb they are. Too lost to know how lost they are. People whose thoughts are not useful. There's nothing profound there. There's nothing to be learned from them. There's nothing true in their ideas. But the words of people like William Shakespeare echo and reverberate through the ages. That's what we latch onto because no one actually cares about it. It doesn't matter if during their age they owned the most things, they made the most money. It doesn't matter if they were the kings and magistrates over the land. It doesn't matter if they owned the brute squad that went around brutalizing people in the street. History does not look back and give a fuck about any of their ideas or their thoughts. How embarrassing, how profoundly humiliating to be a conservative person today in the MAGA cult, choosing the path of ignorance and hate and bigotry, despite the fact that history is just lousy with examples that prove you'll never win, that show that no one is actually going to think you are cool or right. No one ever likes you. No one ever agrees with you. No one's ever going to respect your bigoted, narrow-minded, hateful perspective. It's so weird to watch these people trudging forward with their stupid red hats, trudging forward with their unwavering support of billionaire pedophiles, and somehow convincing themselves that they are going to be the first generation of bigots in human history who will be remembered well. Napoleon, a conqueror, like one of the great conquerors in the history of France. And we have a complex, a personality complex, named after him for short people who are insecure. Because what we most remember about him aren't his conquests and his victories and all of the ways that he, quote unquote, won. We remember him mostly as a fuck-ass loser who was so insecure about being a little short that he made it the entire world's problem to deal with. As far as famous French people go, we care much more about Vincent van Gogh than we do about Napoleon. The person that history actually likes, the person who's cool, is this mentally ill artist who spent his life in abject poverty, wandering the streets, hearing voices, and, you know, doing his best to try to communicate, transform his pain into beautiful images. And that's who we actually aspire to be like. That's who's actually cool. That's the person that you would want at your party. Nobody actually reads the quotes of famous racists who opposed the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Not even the racists in the MAGA cult today. That's the thing, is like, you listen to this speech from Ian McKellen. You listen to that speech from Newsroom, and it's like, where are the speeches from the bigots of bygone eras? And why aren't the bigots of today reading those speeches aloud? Where are the eloquent proclamations of why their worldview is superior? Yeah, sure, Hitler was known as a great orator, but none of the cowards who are still massively anti-Semitic and who still believe in trying to create a white ethnostate in America have the guts to go and read his speeches as proof that his philosophy was correct. Because again, they're ashamed of it. They're ashamed of who they are and what they believe. They're apolitical. They don't have opinions. Even though they live their life in a way that shows that they completely agree with Hitler, they don't dare to get in public and read his words out loud and say, listen to the words of this great man. They're embarrassed by it, and they should be. It is embarrassing. It's so fucking embarrassing, and they don't even need to do it. Yeah, he's remembered as a great orator, but we don't fucking recite his speeches. We don't care, but we care about the words of Martin Luther King. We care about the words of Malcolm X. We remember their words. Basically, all of these loser billionaires want something that money will never be able to buy. Status will never be able to grant. No title, no award, no dollar amount, no yacht, no house will ever be able to ensure that they are remembered well, that they are liked by likable people, that they are respected by respectable people, that they are thought of as good. The proof of this is how mad they get when we cut them off, when we stop inviting them to the party, when we say we don't want to be friends with them anymore. First of all, we've all seen this. You've seen on the internet that conservatives constantly complain that liberals are mean and unreasonable because liberals can't be friends with people who they disagree with. And what they mean is, like, every single conservative who complains about this means someone in my life, a progressive friend of mine, stopped being friends with me because I said something racist or misogynistic or transphobic or xenophobic. I did something that they were morally opposed to. I showed them that we are fundamentally not compatible on a level of non-negotiable values. I showed them that, like, they're not safe around me, so they stopped being my friend, and now I'm on the internet going, how come liberals can't just disagree with you and still be their friend? They're so upset that we won't be friends with them anymore. And I don't give a fuck at all about the people who I've cut off. I've cut off several friends and I don't think about them ever. I'm not sitting around going like, oh, I miss my friend who supports Nazis. I miss my friend who thinks it's cool to be a pedophile. I miss my friend who keeps running cover for all the Nazi pedophiles. I don't lose sleep over it, but they do. They get on the internet and they're like, well, how come all my family members won't talk to me? How come my kids aren't letting me see my grandkids? They're desperate for us to still like them. Despite the fact that it's all their fault. Like, all they got to do is knock it off with the loser, bigot, idiot, dumbass behavior. And they can't do that. So we're like, cool, I'm not going to hang out with you then. I'm not going to be your friend, and I'm cool with that. I'm going to go no contact, and they're like, well, I still want to hang out. I still want to get invited to the Christmas party. They're so fucking desperate for us to like them. They're so, like, hurt by us not liking them, and the crazy thing is the power is all in their hands, especially with the powerful ones, especially with the Zuckerbergs, especially with the Jeff Bezoses, especially with the Elon Musks and the Jeffrey Epsteins and the fucking Donald Trumps. They have all the power in the world to do what they need to do for us to like them, and they just can't do it. And what that thing is just be good. We're not looking for self-driving cars or rockets or how many yachts you have. We don't care that you have a jet ski. We don't care that you're learning jujitsu. We don't care that you got invited on the Joe Rogan podcast. We don't fucking care. Just be a good person. Use your money and influence to help people. Make the world a better place, and we will remember you as a fucking god, as a hero. We will erect statues in your honor, and we will quote your words for years to come. Just be good. But these people can't do that. And that's the whole thing. A loser is a loser precisely because of their inability to grasp this simple concept. And that's why they will always lose. Okay, that's the conclusion to my portion of the show. We're going to go over to the TikTok digital studio audience. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody in the TikTok digital studio audience, want to remind everybody on YouTube, patreon.com. It's $1 a month. Patreon.com/AustinArcher. It's linked in the description of this video. Really, really easy to find. It's $1 a month, $10 for an entire year. I made it such a low amount that you shouldn't even have to think about it. It's so easy to support the work I do here. Also, today is Bandcamp Friday. This is just for the people on the live stream, but also if you're out there, all of my music's on Bandcamp. I removed all of my music from Spotify last year because Spotify's running ads for ICE and they're destroying the music industry with all of their AI bullshit, and they're like funding AI, you know, programmed murder drones and all this evil shit. But all of my music is on Bandcamp. Bandcamp always does a very healthy rev share with artists. It's always around like 87% of the sale goes to the artist. So it's always a good day to support on Bandcamp if you want other ways to support. But if you can't do any of that, liking, sharing, commenting, subscribing, all of that stuff is very good. Okay, TikTok digital studio audience, what's up? Nikki says, the bar is laughably low. But yeah, the bar is so low. That's what's so crazy. That's what's really so crazy about like losers, is that what we need from them to think that they're cool, like the barrier to entry into the cool kids club is just be nice, be good, try to be nice, care about being nice. You can even fail. And again, you got to have thick skin if you're going to be here, because people will call you out on it when you fuck up. When you slip up, people will call you out. But just be committed to trying to be good, to trying to leave the world better than you found it. Especially you fucking billionaires. Just be invested in the work of making the world a better place than it was before you were born. What if I rent out the whole city of Venice for my wedding? Would that do it? Am I cool for that? Is that cool? You Burn It, You Buy It said, at first I just thought they couldn't see the lies. Turns out they absolutely do. They just agree with it. Yeah, I talk about this all the time, that they know they're lying, and there's so many different ways that you can prove that. Just their uncanny ability to flip what their values are depending on what a story requires shows that they have no actual backbone or
convictions when it comes to their proclaimed principles, you know, to a fundamentalist. Like, guns are the thing. We need guns. Guns are good. And the specific reason why we need guns is to oppose a tyrannical government. That's why we need guns. And then they watch a explicitly tyrannical government, a government that is run by a guy who has gone out of his way to dominate all aspects of the government and get rid of checks and balances, who inflates his own personal army by tens of billions of taxpayer dollars and then sends that army out into the street to terrorize American citizens and murder them in broad daylight on camera. And they're like, it doesn't click in their brain. Oh, this is what the Second Amendment is for. Not only does it not click, they flip to guns are bad now. If you've got a gun, you deserve to be killed by the masked Gestapo. Rogue Cop says they're okay with them being tyrannical as long as they're hurting the right people. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's the first they came for poem, right? It's like, and it's also the leopards are eating people's faces. Like, in order to be a part of the MAGA cult, you either have to be stupid, evil, or both. Those are the only options. You have to be insanely stupid, insanely, unbelievably evil, or some combination of the two. And the evil thing is when it's just like, I know I'm lying and I lie anyway. I know I'm running cover for the fact that, like, the people I support are Nazis. I know that great replacement theory is overtly a Nazi ideology. I know that trying to create a white ethno state in America when America is this much of a diverse melting pot, I know that that's Nazi ideology, and I'm just pretending not to know that. That's the evil part. The stupid part is thinking it will never flip on me. Like, the stupid part is J.D. Vance signing up to be the VP, knowing that they tried to hang the previous VP. That Donald Trump threw his previous VP under the bus and sent an angry mob to kill him. And J.D. Vance being like, but he won't do that to me, right? That's the stupid part. And a lot of them are both. Nisley99 said, I just yesterday told my son, as soon as hope dies, all is lost. And yeah, and I don't think hope has died. There are some things that there might be no hope for. There might be no hope that this current DOJ is going to prosecute the people in the Epstein files. There's almost certainly no hope of that. But that doesn't mean there's no hope that there won't be some kind of justice for those people. Already we're seeing that, like, while Jeffrey Epstein got away with a lifetime of his loser, dog shit, evil, dork, pedophile behavior, he's now hated by everyone in the world. He's remembered as a villain. Everybody fucking hates those guys. For time and all memoriam, everyone is going to remember Larry Nassar and Jeffrey Epstein as despicable fuck-ass losers. Donald Trump is going to be remembered as the period, worst period, president period ever in the history of the country. He's going to be remembered as an international embarrassment, a man who was a colossal loser, who everyone hated, who managed to spend the last 10 years of his miserable, pathetic loser life as the leader of a loser cult of pedophiles and unfuckable morons. So there's hope. Okay, I think we're going to call it there. I think that was a lot. And thank you guys so much for your feedback. Thank you for your comments. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. All of my music is available at my Bandcamp. Go check out my Bandcamp linked in the description. Great way to support indie music. Patreon.com/Austin Archer. Shout out to the Patreon patrons. You keep this channel running. You are the wind beneath my wings, and it's a dollar. It's a dollar a month. You shouldn't even have to worry about it to sign up. Easiest thing ever. You get all of my content first, often with bonus content, exclusive content every single week. The algorithm doesn't hide it from you. No algorithmic fuckery about. So check that out. And yeah, okay. Keep on keeping on. Keep the hope alive. Keep your hearts in the game. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we will see you next time. Love you so much. Bye-bye. Donald Trump's a Nazi pedophile. J.D. Vance is a Nazi pedophile. Stephen Miller's a Nazi pedophile. Elon Musk is an unpopular pedophile. Kristi Noem's a Nazi pedophile. Cash Patel's a Nazi pedophile. Prove to me your
you're not a pedophile. Stop protecting Nazi pedophiles.